You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Good evening.
Anthony Askew.
Hello.
Dwayne Maloney.
Welcome, Mr. Juster.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Darby the Player, Part 1. But first, the week in JoJo's news. Okay, Eyes of Heaven, the upcoming JoJo's Bizarre Adventure beat-em-up, has added Jean-Pierre Polnareff and Hull Horse, and Yukako Yamagishi and Koichi Hiroshi from Diamond is Unbreakable Part 4. So, you've got those to look forward to. Are you more excited now? It's got Hull Horse in it, Anthony.
I'm on board.
When's the demo? When's the demo?
I think the demo, well, the Japanese one's been out for a while, I think, the demo.
I've got my whiz. I could nab that.
Yeah. I'm seeing it's got Speedwagon in here as well.
That was announced.
Was he in the last game? I don't remember.
No, he was on the menu screen, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So, telling you not to trust Darby. It was on a different menu screen.
I presume this would be the version like with the bladed border hat rather than
what they used once. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. I think his fighting style is described as, is it ogre street fighting? Because it's got a ridiculous name based on where he comes from.
Oh yeah, he did come from Ogre Street, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah, memories.
Like, does he just narrate what the other guy is doing as he pummels him? I can't really figure out what his fighting style would be.
He's probably better on the menu.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
he'll catch you around and rub it against his manly chest.
Oh, he does have a very warm belly, that's right.
Oh, we should mention that, was it J All-Stars, what, the Shonen Jump?
Shonen
Jump Brothers Melee Brawl.
He's coming out in Europe, so... I think Jonathan and Joseph are in that.
I don't know how I feel about that game, but looks a bit rubbish. Terrible,
but I'm a sucker for having that many different characters being able to fight each other.
Yeah, I would say that'd be good for a rental or what have you. But how many of those characters are available straight away? Do you gotta play it 100 times to unlock them all or whatever? You gotta buy them, as in this isn't this day and age.
DLC.
Okay. Old news from December. There was apparently, this is what Google Translate described it as, was the Anime Wordsmith Awards, which I think should be Catchphrase Awards.
Oh, okay.
Because these were all catchphrases. So the Gold Award was won by a JoJo's catchphrase.
Is it next you're going to say?
Good grief.
No, from Stardust Crusaders, the last season. This is the 2014 awards.
Oh, okay.
From that season. Any guesses?
Yoda, Yoda.
Yes, it, yes.
Is that really a catchphrase?
Yeah, that was the gold one. The silver award went to Mongi from Yo-Kai Watch.
Which one was Mongi?
The one that,
the
little cat thing says, yeah.
The country cat.
The country cat says.
Oh gosh.
Everything's very Mongi. And the bronze one was, this must be the work of a Yo-Kai also.
That's a good one.
I hope that was said, but like, I don't know, it was just like, it's like a cop in Tokyo and he arrives at the scene of a horrible murder. And it's like, wow, somebody working with Yo-Kai.
Case closed.
Apparently.
That damn Tanaka, shows the professional level for God's sake, because the man is dead.
I think they were saying it was popularized because kids like to say it as to excuse themselves.
Like the dog ate my homework.
Yes. It must be the work of a yokai. Lots have released JoJo's Bizarre Adventures gum in black mint flavour and three different labels. So, if you'd like to chew gum, there you go. That looks like it's gum for adults.
Well, I mean, they're missing out there. They should release, like, cigarettes for kids is clearly where they need to go.
There was earlier... I think while we were out, not podcasting, there was, they're called candy toys.
Oh, the little cigarette ones, yeah?
No, so they were like, so what you'd get is like a, old, Kinnikuman or muscle type single colour model, and a tiny bit of gum to qualify it as candy. Which I think is like, some must be some sort of tax loophole. Could sell toys as candy. Why call it the candy toys? That's the only way I can figure out why they include the candy in.
Is it the tiniest piece of...
I believe so, yes, because I bought one piece once, and they're similar. They're like single colour castings, and they came with a tiny, tiny bit of sweet.
It's one single solitary Skittle. That's all it needs.
Yeah.
A grain of sugar.
Now, you would think if we're going to gum thing, this wouldn't it be coffee gum? I mean, you have to have the Iggy brand coffee flavored gum.
Why is black mint to prevent your dogs from eating it?
I'm not a gum guy. I don't think I know anyone who's a gum guy these days.
I chew a lot of gum.
Really?
Only typical Wrigley's Extra.
Yeah, that's fine. That's for.
And I might pick out a summer gum from the influence of Who Charted.
What, like a juicy fruit?
Yes, like a fruit flavored gum.
Is there a winter gum, like a hot toddy
mint
gum?
Mint's more of a winter gum.
Or a fisherman's friend. Not really a gum. But...
No, they're too strong for my taste buds, is an old fisherman's friend. Anyway, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Battle Tendency, Volume 1 is out digitally if you're in the US. Also, not in the US. Well, we've just got a...
Wailing and gnashing of teeth.
There's another one of those premieres, I think in the 9th one they've done, at Movix in Miyagi Prefecture on May the 9th. Apparently the actors who play Jotaro and Joseph will be there, and they'll be streaming the chat on Ustream.
Ooh.
There was a survey of 250 men and 250 women over what January anime was a hit. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Star Wars Crusaders came in third. Any guesses as to what first and second were?
I say it every week. I'm still probably wrong. I'm not sure it came out.
You wanted to be right.
The Natural Predator of JoJo, Ken Call.
No. I say it's a survey of 250
people. These are normal people.
These are normal people, yes.
Oh, phew.
What anime is this? Is this just new releases from that
winter
bunch?
Yeah, stuff which started in January, yes.
Death Parade?
No. That's not for normal people.
It's pretty good.
Think manga adaptations.
I've forgotten everything that came out in winter except for JoJo and Death Parade.
Seven Deadly Sins, that wasn't a winter
one. No, that was a... October one.
Oh god, memory. Give it a clue.
Okay. The first number one is a Shonen Jump title. I think they're both Shonen Jump titles, actually. If I remember correctly.
Another little clue.
You've definitely watched some episodes of the one at number one.
I have. Yes. Did I like it?
Yes, you did. I do believe you liked it.
Oh, well, no, that's not winter.
Okay, Watch was before that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of these running Weekly Shonen Jump, but not the US Weekly Shonen Jump.
Right.
Are you listening at home? Can you guess what the answer
is? Is one of them a tennis show?
No, one of them is a sports show, though. And it's in the umpteenth season of it, I think.
Hajime no Ippo?
No.
Oh.
It's the third season.
Is it the biker?
No. I'm going to put you out of your misery now.
Swimming
number one is Assassination Classroom. And number two is Kuroko's Basketball.
They are so unbelievably obvious. So unbelievably obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. I should have just taught what two teams are always in the news. One, right. As class, because, they're making some stuff out of us. Other thing for murder conspiracies. But it could have been the obvious ones.
Yes.
And as class is the best.
JoJo's is the best.
Well, yes.
Are you doing a secret assassination classroom podcast we don't know about?
Traitor.
There's a accessory shop called Azizi's, who've got a Nico account and the JoJo's account. And they've previously posted videos of showing them making like JoJo's rings out of silver and other metals, but they've made a silver chariot. I'll stick a link to that video.
Are we talking solid silver?
It's hard to say.
Within reason, of course.
What the videos do, they show you them making the wax version of it. And then they're like, skip ahead. Here's the silver version. We're not actually going to show you our casting techniques.
Here's one we made earlier.
And how much are we talking for this?
I don't think it was any mention of price, but I'll stick the video up on the show notes. So you can follow that link to the YouTube link.
I mean, they're going
to
be expensive, but not as expensive as a Star Platinum without a Platinum.
Okay, Daisuke Ono, the voice of Jotaro, has a mini album out on July the 1st called Doors. And
does it have a question mark at the end?
No.
Is it a bunch of covers of songs by The Doors?
And on January the 16th, 2016, he's doing his first solo live performance.
Is he like a big deal over there?
Well, he won those awards, so I assume he's a deal to people who really like male voice actors.
Also, he's totally dreamy, so...
I've not even seen what he looks like, but I imagine he is.
I recall him being totally dreamy.
Okay, so in fact, two dates, January 16th and January 17th at Nippon Budokan.
Ooh. So if one of us wins the lottery before then, we're going out there. Live from the Budokan, let's go JoJo's.
Okay, and that's it for me, for JoJo's news. Is there anything I've missed?
Pretty comprehensive there. excluding that the bit of news is going to come out in about 20 minutes, just after we finish, but okay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's next week, viewers, listeners.
So, Anthony, take it away with a synopsis of Darby the Player.
Player. Right, so, obviously I missed last week's episode, so I don't know how you've tied it up, because I've not yet listened. I'm going to imagine you tied it up where I would have thought you would. So, yes, the guys, they're just about to enter the mansion, and they're met by what we believe to be the mansion's butler, Darby Jr. He's got the similar kind of face plates, if you would call it that, as his older brother Darby. And he shows up, and everyone thinks, oh, he's come for revenge on his brother who is... you know, out of commission, as he describes it. But no, he's just there because, you know, he's one of Dio's henchmen. And Jotaro is like, well, let's just go for gold. And he steps into the mansion and Darby Jr. reveals his stand, which, as they comment, isn't something that they've seen recently. It's always been smoke and mirrors and whatnot until we actually see the stand. But he reveals the stand and it's a... I wouldn't even know how to describe this thing. I know he's got the letters T and D on his face, but how would you describe the look of it?
A robot covered in love hearts.
Yeah. Kind of heart robot, okay. Love robot.
Okay, I love that description. So yeah, that's, and he's got T and D. That's what stood out to me. But yeah, he's there, and Darby predicts that Star Platinum is going to throw a left hook. And Jotaro is shocked when he hears this because... yeah, he probably was going to throw a left hook. So he throws the right one instead. Darby stand at him. He dodges it with ease. And he grabs his arm. And then suddenly a portal pops out the ground and pulls Jotaro in. And Kakuin and Joseph are like, nope, not this time. And, you know, Hierophant Green's Emerald Splash grabs him, as does Hermit Purple. But Darby pulls them down as well, and you hear Joseph shouting, look, if we, Avdol, Polnareff, if we're not back in 10 minutes, just torch the place. Just set the place on fire, which, would that work? Is Dio that weak to be caught in a...
Well, I mean, he's into daylight, so if the mansion burns down, he's kind of fucked. I'm not sure why that wasn't plan A.
That was what I wrote down as well.
They don't even have to step inside.
Yeah, Avdol, set fire to it. No one can prove a thing. Your fire is magic. It doesn't count as arson.
Even if it looked just like this crumbling building because they couldn't see the flames.
Yeah, and the fire brigade are there, and they're like, why can't we put out the fire? It keeps coming up again. It's perfect.
And even if he did go to prison... a vampire is dead, so it will be worth it. But nevertheless, we join the five of them in this strange, almost beach-like island dream world. just as you'd expect from that description. And there's Derby, and there's kind of, you see computer games set up, whatnot, you know, the beach. Joseph says, you know what, this feels real. I can feel water from the sea. And he asks him loads of questions. Is this part of your stand? And he's not giving anything away. But as he says, unlike my brother, I will not cheat. I will not lie. That's not how I like to gamble. I like to put stuff on the line, but I will not cheat and lie. And at this point, we see there's like a small container, and Derby opens it up, and there's loads of, I've seen dogs getting beheaded and all sorts of stuff, but these things are creepy.
They were done in the same animation style as the ending sequence for the kids comics. The Oingo Boingo Brothers kind of ending. That weird sort of flash animation looking thing. It's kind of really
creepy. They stand out on their own, and I don't want them to stand out because they're horrible to look at, and we know straight away that these, just like his brother, these are people's souls, but yet they're not kind of locked away. They can kind of interact with Derby, and he's describing them all out, and he explains one's a murderer, one's a woman who tells him about love stories and whatnot. And he describes one as a games developer? He's and he like gives a name. Is that a real
guy? Gamer prodigy.
He was like a genius. He had an IQ of 190. He was a real challenge, I tell you what. But he's in my puppet now. Aha.
His name sounded like Tatsunoko for a second, but I don't think
Tatsunohiko
it was
Tatsunohiko or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is that someone in the business? Is it just a name?
Just a name.
So at this point, we'll realize, just like Derby, he's going to basically wager their souls. And Kakuin steps up to take part in the gaming battle, which at this point I am so excited. I love poker and I love the previous Derby stuff, but games, you know, I like to play games, so it's good. And Kakuin, which we didn't know, is a big gamer. I guess he is a school kid, so I would go to the arcade after school. Anyway, he picks up F-Mega or whatever he calls it, which is obviously F-Zero, and we go into the speed racer world briefly, which is what I thought. But no, they start playing, and just as they do, Derby's stand comes out, and he's revving up the engine with the A button, and it is lightning quick. And it's like, right, okay, this guy is going to be good. And that basically, obviously, as we've mentioned, that the souls are on the line. Derby's way ahead in the race. Kakuin uses Hierophant Green to kind of, I don't know how this works in game. The game's mechanics are pretty screwed at this point. And he starts kind of going left and right. And the car starts to spin, knocks Derby's car out of control, and so on. There's a huge build up, you know, that they're neck and neck, as every good, you know, car race should be. And, they go down this tunnel, which is, you know, if they go down the tunnel, you've won the race, basically. It'll give you a speed boost and so on. Kakuin manages to get in by flipping his car, which, as I say, the game's mechanics for the console, it's very advanced. And the lights go out in the game. I don't know if that happens in F-Zero. Joseph is just flabbergasted. He is so excited. And unfortunately, Derby wins the race.
He hasn't won yet.
Guys, don't bother watching the preview for next week's because it gives a little bit away. But I thoroughly enjoyed this.
I really enjoyed this. Like, it's exciting, but it's dudes sitting down playing a video game and speed lines in the background. It reminded me of anything like, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And something where what they're doing isn't really that exciting. You know,
well, the guy's soul's on the line, so it's,
I know, but I mean, like, one of the dudes is just tapping left and right, you know,
really fast.
And that mean, like, how, like, no, they're not using their stand to fight each other, using them as kind of like an extra set of hands to push buttons and do combinations on the pads faster.
Yeah, because you don't want to get like a callus on your thumb, that would mess you up.
Yeah, there's a lot of economy going on in the production of this episode.
Well, I mean, like, they have the animation for the little weird puppet soul guys, and the CG for the races and stuff.
And also when he greets them at the door, he does a long explanation, which is just showing them staring at him at the back of his head.
And then the outside of the mansion. And I thought there was a problem with my Crunchyroll. Because I felt like and I was like, no, the scene can't be skipping because the subs are still on time.
That's hot as well. It's like there's some weird cuts in there. It's going like camera one, camera two, whole space outside from different angles. It's like,
yeah, well, it's basically really like odd. The same. It's just the same angle, but it's just they're kind of centered to the right of the screen, and then it cuts, and then they're centered to the left of the screen. I was like, did it just flip? Did they all just change places? Because he put them in a mirror world, and I was like, no. It's just doing that for some reason with the camera.
I didn't think it was the stand. I thought, yes, what's his power? Just a bad editor. David Production need to get the fingers out down there.
I was going crazy.
Get nailed down there.
I was tearing my hair on him.
You're bald. You tweeted that picture. You're bald right now.
And also, we were thinking, this is 12 chapters long in the comic. And normally they take about 4 chapters per... episode, but yes, in order to fit them into 2, they removed the opening titles on this episode.
Yeah.
How do you take 12 chapters?
Because it would be great! Why can't it be longer? So you're telling me this is going to be done and dusted in next week's episode?
Yeah.
That is so disappointing.
It would want to be.
Like, what did he do in the manga? Did he start a tourney or something?
Losers brackets, winners brackets.
No, there's just... All there is the game you saw, the other game you saw in the...
Okay.
Baseball game.
Okay. So you didn't like the look of the racing game because it looks a bit iffy, but remember, it's meant to be an old game.
Yeah, I was going to say, it still looks better than some initial D races.
Yeah, it looks not like real life compared.
I figured they must be playing an N64 or something because it looks like F-Zero on that kind of level of graphics.
Well, we can figure out when did this 1987 isn't it set in?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been N64 about them and all. Like a NES and NES.
The last F-Zero game, I'm sure I read it was 1993.
I was going to say, the F-Zero didn't exist when this is supposedly set, but it
would but it's just the same bumpers and everything. It's crazy.
But it'd be around when this volume came out.
Oh, it would have been quite a recent game. Okay.
Yeah.
So apparently he's up on his gaming too, as well as his travel.
and that pad that they're using, that is an angry kid's nightmare. That is ready to be snapped.
That's probably the idea. So you snap and then you got to buy another one. It's not a very well designed.
I was going to say it's pretty big for a pad in that time period as well.
Considering the size of these guys, yeah. also the amazing voguing they managed to do with a freaking fake SNES pad. That was pretty great.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, it was doing the whole thing like if we were playing. I was playing Star Fox on the SNES. You're flying to space, you're kind of dodging asteroids and stuff, and you're just moving the pad. But you're also moving with it, so it's like, you're doing you're kind of doing it as well. I feel like you're doing a bit of that in there, like you're driving on a track and just going, whoa, like that.
It's what your grandmother would do when you forced her to play a video game with.
I used to do that, never mind me grandmother.
Based off the preview, I'm kind of disappointed that Joseph isn't going to be there, because you know he'd be like, hold on, you hit pause, Joseph. Oh, hold on, I'm just trying to... So this up goes up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How do I turn? Do I go like this? It's like, no, because you want to see the granddad play video games. That would be great. You should have picked him first.
He is super into video games, as we see.
Jotaro doesn't lift his peak of his cap, but really...
Well, Jotaro, I think, is actually trying to figure out what Darby's up to.
But is he up to anything? Because it seems pretty fair.
But they don't know how his powers work yet.
That is true.
But it's similar to Daniel J. Darby in that you can steal your soul.
They know the soul stealing rule is similar, but if they want to defeat him, it's like, how did he predict the punch and how did he be so fast to catch me? That's what he needs to figure out. Like,
is it all chicanery or is it a stand power? You don't know yet.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he says, "Oh no, I don't do tricks. I don't cheat or do tricks," and I was thinking but those three people you're talking to, two of them definitely do.
Well, I mean, like pulling them
that
into
will
your...
be their downfall.
Yeah. Pulling them into a pink other dimensional beach world is kind of that's a bit of a trick, isn't it? I did like the very small table he has set up for the video games as well, because it looked kind of like a thing at a con. You know, just like really, he's got really small tellies and everything. Yes. That was pretty great.
See, there was 4 consoles there. If they'd all sat down and played Bomberman,
this could be over. Yeah.
I think they're missing a beat.
Well, it'd be 3
Joseph, you got the roller skates.
Would be.
Chabot and Iggy from Hit and
Play. Yeah, he'd be on Darby's set. Actually, no, he wouldn't. Not following last week's episode.
So are you going to be more careful if you see people with ball-jointed dolls in video rooms at cons now?
I'm careful of them anyway.
Fuck, I'm out right there. Don't take any chances.
he's totally like, I wonder, did Araki go to a con and find a dude and he's like, this guy would make a great villain. He's so creepy. I don't know, it's like, oh, check out my dolls. This is my doll collection, you guys. See this guy? He was a murderer. He tells me stories about it sometimes.
Well, they're kind of like, oh, you're as bad as your brother. And then they sort of come to the conclusion, no, you're worse.
So creepy. At least like Daniel Garvey, he became a bit of class about himself. But no, you're just like a weird shut-in creep. Also, you've got, like, you know, besides the weird stuff on his face, Daniel Garvey, look pretty sharp now wearing the vest, the nice special hair. You look like you got like your Marge Simpson hair and you got the big earrings.
Is that his hair or is that a hat? I couldn't tell.
That's his
hair.
I hope
it's under a
okay.
hat. Oh, it's his hair.
Like you can see, it's like, you know, the sideburns are green and then that whatever he's got going on there is green too. So I think this guy's like, he's in a big beehive do.
Even more confusing than Joe Taro's hat.
Alright, and our theory about those being Darby's, like, sideburns are completely washed out by what's on his face, because hair doesn't grow on your nose and just on your cheek.
Oh, I've got a few hairs on my nose.
Like, on the outside of it? On the bridge of
well,
it?
Well, yeah.
Really?
I'll show you one day.
Hairy nose askew, that's what they call them.
I know. Oh, don't forget, we see Kakuin kind of reminiscing about when he first met Joe, Dio. And he said he was going to vomit. He felt sick to his stomach.
I was like, I really don't need to hear this, Kakuin. Thanks, though. But
Dio fear symptoms include acid reflux, shivers, slight headache, loss of appetite,
horniness.
Yes, but it was all okay once Dio reassured him that he has nothing to fear from.
That was the worst part.
The creepy heartbreaking backdrop.
Rats, Kakuin.
Yeah, I looked. This felt more like the last season's stand users, more of a horror feel to it, didn't it? Mm. So there was a film called Dolls in 1987 where people were getting turned into dolls.
What was the one? Was it Puppet Master or you know the one?
Yeah, Puppet Master. Did they get turned into dolls in that?
I think he made puppets and they came life and killed people.
That's what I thought. Yeah. It's a Stuart Gordon film. Dolls is, of course, it's a Stuart Gordon film.
It's one of those ones where I think one of the dolls' heads swivels around, another has a scissor for I forget arms or a head. I can't remember.
Scissors for a head.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, this doll has a spike on it, so you clearly know that's going to murder someone.
Here we go. So one by one, the overnight guests are attacked by dolls who turn out to be cursed, immoral people that have been killed and imprisoned in toys to pay for their crimes.
That does sound like what he's doing here.
It does, yeah.
Although, what did that freaking genius video gamer kid do?
Maybe beat him in a video game. Pretty good. When he was a child, I don't know. I don't think it was as good as last week's episode. I like this a lot, but I think off the record, well, not off the record, but...
No, we're last, recording
yeah,
this.
We're definitely on the record. Sorry, guys. For the record, I loved last week's episode. It was perfect for me. It's finally, we're at this point where we are, and it took a long time to get here, a good journey, but I'm frightened because it's coming to an end.
Yeah, it's kind of built that huge build up last week to finally entering the building and we play video games. against a guy who's like we've already encountered his brother, so he's
not?
Both being compared to that fight, the fight from the last two episodes and to his brother and coming up.
Well, like I said though, the last episode was so good, it's had to do it again.
True.
Get a sequel in before it ends, yeah. I see what you mean, it kind of ruins the pace a little, but I still enjoy the episode but in and of itself. Like.
So do you think they probably got feedback cards saying, I liked the Daniel J. Darby, but I don't play poker. Can you do it? Play video games, because we're little kids. And the editor said, oh.
Go on then.
Go on, do it again.
Well, I was wondering, was this the plan the whole time? Because your man, the guy he's based off, was it Terrence...
Trent Darby, yes, because so he's Trent Darby. Darby, isn't he?
I've actually heard songs by that guy.
Yes.
So was that the initial plan, or did he just decide to go, I'm not even going to come up with a pseudonym this time. Just give him basically the same name.
Now, what video game would you choose to play? What game do you think, I'll play that one, I definitely would know it. You think you're the best one, everybody you know at it. Like, what would be your game to play? Try and beat Derby.
I'm trying to remember back when I used to be good at competitive games.
Could be any game. Could be Mario Party. Could be Monkey Ball. Could be whatever. Actually, Dwayne, we was playing Monkey Ball just last weekend. You were pretty good at that. So
I'm all right at Monkey Ball.
Maybe Niall's trying to give you a false sense of security, so you'll...
Would you bet your soul on it, Dwayne? No.
I'll just get Gary Hedges to take my spot. Play Mega Man against him. Catch you later, Dalby.
Go call Speedrun Foundation and call for some backup. Bring Gary to Egypt.
You'd hear Gary ahead of the helicopter coming in.
He jumps on your face and tears your hair out. I'm sorry, Gary.
Hey, this is very in if nobody listens to our other podcast. But if you want to hear Gary, he'll be on Dynamite in the Brain shortly.
I wasn't dissing Gary then.
I know you weren't, but I'm thinking of people who only listen to this podcast. They wouldn't know who Gary was.
That's true. He likes Mega Man a lot.
He does. The other thing I noted was I think Joseph calls them television games, not himself. Which is what they used to be called. I think it's fitting for him to call them television games.
I'm going to start calling them television games. That's better.
That's true. Even if you play them on a PC.
It reminds me of life and I spent the old penny arcade back in New York City, I tell you what.
Yeah, Joseph is getting really... His excitement and his commentary is pretty great on this. It's like, oh my god, he drove ahead of you. Yeah, we can see that.
Wow, it's so realistic.
Especially once Darby starts yelling at him for putting him off.
Yeah, then he's just like, oh, I'm just going to lean into it now. Before, I was just confused by these moving picture boxes, but now I'm going to go for it.
So, come on, man. It's only a game.
So you think Joseph would be the trash-talking kind of guy?
So I'm predicting he's going to try and use Hermit Purple next week. Can he do that? Is he? Well, I guess he'll be allowed.
We'll have to find out, won't we?
Prediction.
He did check the gear with it, didn't he, to check that it was real?
He did. And how does he know if he's calling them television games? He doesn't know what's a legit game or not.
I'm sure he's punched multiple things to find out how his stand works.
Wouldn't that be great if he checked the video games and then the whole thing exploded? You exploded all my cartridges. It's like, well, I guess we're just going to fight now, aren't we? I forgot to mention when he grabbed Jotaro by the arm. He actually embeds his Stan's arm in under his skin. That was pretty gross.
Yeah, I don't see that as a big threat. They're making out like, oh shit, we're going to have to agree to his terms.
Well, if he has a broken arm, he's not going to be very good at fighting Dio, and he's their ace in the hole.
Wow. I guess.
He's the other teenager.
I guess so, yeah. Fair one.
Yeah. I can't imagine Alfdol playing video games. And Polnareff would be a push as well, I think.
Polnareff would be worse than Joseph.
he spent his teenage years hunting down his sister's killer.
So. Yeah.
He would be like, what TV? What the hell is this thing?
What was that thing Avdol came back saying for a while? When he went a bit crazy?
Wait, yes. The yes I am or the...
All of that.
Yeah, I rewatched that the other day, and it's still great. It's still one of the best moments in this entire series.
When he comes back, it is good.
Actually, remember, Avdol wouldn't be good at beginning at all because remember from the previous Derby, you couldn't let him play because he'd get too emotional. Avdol, if you play against him, he just rage quit, and then halfway through.
Does that count as a loss? I think that might be okay.
Only if you admit defeat, you know. But
actually,
this is bullshit. he feels wronged, not that he lost. So maybe that's a loophole in it, you know. Like, just before you do it, though, just rage quit. in Kenshin Yusol.
I think that's time to rage quit this podcast. let's end this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo and be back here next week for Darby the Player Part 2. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcast at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
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 Camels with the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump. Slave girls sold here, 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth. Braces, laces, a candle for the moth. Bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything. Thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish. A clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.